Hey, friend, it's David Nabinsky here in Brooklyn. So excited for this Portfolio Career Podcast episode. This one's a little bit different. This one is a book review on the 2012 book, The Startup of You, written by Reid Hoffman and Ben Casanocha. This episode with timestamp notes is available on my website at Portfolio Career Podcast. There, you can subscribe to my newsletter called One Email Away, which has the best insights from the podcast and friend-sourced opportunities. And so, The Startup of You. As I mentioned, it's written by Reid Hoffman. Reid is a world-renowned entrepreneur and investor. He's the co-founder of LinkedIn. He was previously the executive vice president and on the founding board of directors at PayPal. He's a partner at Greylock, a leading Silicon Valley venture capital firm, and is also the host of the Masters of Scale podcast. And Ben is an award-winning entrepreneur and author. He's a co-founder and partner at Village Global, an early-stage venture capital firm that invests in startup entrepreneurs. And so the tagline to the book is adapt to the future, invest in yourself, and transform your career. I think this book does a really good job of thinking about ways to view your portfolio career. On page 3 of the book, they say all humans are entrepreneurs, not because they should start companies, but because the will to create is encoded in human DNA, and creation is the essence of entrepreneurship. And then on page 4, whether you're a lawyer or doctor or teacher or engineer or even a business owner, today you need to also think of yourself as an entrepreneur at the helm of at least one living, growing startup venture, your career. Amazing, right? So why did I want to read this book? So as you may know, I worked at a startup in 2014 through 2017, 2 years of which were in San Francisco. And it was definitely a high growth learning environment. And I learned a ton about business development, product, operations, recruiting, fundraising, like so many skills all packaged into one job. And as the head of growth. But we can also take that same approach to our day-to-day lives. Maybe not always at the same time doing a lot of different things, but over a year, over 6 months or so, you can think about, what kind of skills do I need to develop? What's a new project that I want to start, et cetera. And so that you can have that similar type of experience that you can at a fast-paced, early-stage startup. And so then in 2018, when I started working on these multiple different things all at once, it's when it kind of born the idea for this podcast, because people were asking me, hey, I see you doing this. Hey, I see you doing that. And I was just like, I'm doing the best that I can. And then I learned about the podcasting workshop and I thought it'd just be a great idea to learn more about this new kind of framework that I was operating under and to learn from other people that were operating this way, which was very different compared to what I experienced when I was in San Francisco. So we're just going to dive into some of the top ideas from the book. And on page 23 is the startup of you skill set. And the number one skill set is develop your competitive advantage in the market by combining 3 puzzle pieces: your assets, your aspirations, and the market realities. So your assets could be, your blog, could be your newsletter. It could be your podcast. It could be your, investments. Then your aspirations. So your aspirations could be, I want to work 20 hours a week. Could be, I want to make X amount of money. It could be, I want to work on multiple things and I want to have X type of agency and I want to learn these types of things. And then you combine that with the market realities, which say, well, you know, there's not really a job like that. So you have to piece it together, or, you know, or you need to wait, or there's, or you're just not as qualified compared to other people. So the key thing here is this competitive advantage, right? So like, think about it, like when you used to play sports, think about it, and we'll go into a little bit more detail, but the key thing here is this competitive advantage. How are you unique and different compared to other people? By combining these puzzle pieces. The next one is use ABZ planning to formulate plan A based on your competitive advantage, and then iterate and adapt that plan based on feedback and lessons learned. So we'll go into more details about plan A, plan B, and plan Z, but you know, plan A is what you're doing now, plan B is what you could do, plan Z is kind of the worst case scenario. But again, it goes back to this idea of the competitive advantage. Very similar to like startups, they think about their competitive advantage a ton. So they think about, what is our price point? How is it different than our competitors? What type of unique distribution do we have? What kind of opportunities that we have that are unique because of where we're based, or where we have access to because of relationships? Like, the competitive advantage is the key piece here. When you think about a startup, the startup of you. Next one is build real lasting relationships and deploy these relationships into a powerful professional network. The one after that is find and create opportunities for yourself by tapping networks, being resourceful, and staying in motion. Accurately appraise and take an intelligent risk as you pursue professional opportunities. And the last one of the startup of you skill set is tap network intelligence from the people you know for the insight that allows you to find better opportunities and make better career decisions. So we're going to dive into this skill set in more detail, each one of these key things, but this was key focus of the book, was diving into those. So I want to distill down these top ideas for you in this podcast episode. And kind of the overarching theme and message as well in this kind of startup of you mindset is to always be in permanent beta. And it's described as permanent beta is essentially a lifelong commitment to continuous personal growth. So startups are constantly in beta with new products. They are, you know, in some cases live with a new feature that is only exposed to 10 prospects. It's only live on half of the platform. And the same type of approach is how we can think about our portfolio careers as well. Okay, then each one of these, I just want to dive into more detail. So competitive advantage. On page 29, a competitive advantage is like to think of yourself in the context of a company hires me over other professionals because ... Like, how are you the first, only, faster, better, cheaper than other people who want to do what you're doing in the world, right? Like, you can think about it, like if you apply to a job online, like you can truly kind of think about how all these other people are competing for this one job, and then the recruiting team looks at it and they say, that is the one, this one. And so thinking about how you are that one, or where you are that one, and knowing that and being understanding of that can help you with A, where you currently are, and B, where you're trying to potentially go next. And competitive advantage underpins all career strategy. And they say it also helps answer the classic question, what should I be doing with my life? And this last point on competitive advantage is studying the market realities doesn't have to be negative limiting exercise. So there's always industry, places, people, and companies with momentum, and to put yourself in a position to ride those waves. Okay, now we're going to move on to the ABZ portion. Remember, it's use ABZ planning to formulate plan A based on your competitive advantage, and then iterate and then adapt that plan based on feedback and lessons learned. Okay, so ABC planning is the antidote to the what color is your parachute approach to career planning. It is the adaptive approach to planning that promotes trial and error. So plan A is it's what you're currently doing. So you may be working this job, you may be doing these things on the side, like that's your current plan. And plan B is like you'll always be kind of tinkering and adjusting with your plan A. And should you decide to make a bigger change, that's when you pivot to plan B. And then the certainty of plan Z, which is your backstop, this is what enables you to be aggressive, not tentative, about plan A and plan B. With plan Z, you'll at least know that you can tolerate failure. Like this is like your worst case scenario, like maybe moving home with your parents. What's important is knowing what it is and being clear with it. Like, so, you know, and then without it, like you could be frozen in fear of contemplating the worst case scenarios. So, right, it's like we always get better when we know, when we can identify and we can label what our different options are. And so plan A, plan B, and plan Z. And then on page 63 is a great point. It says, if you're unsure what your first or even your second step should be, pick a first step with high option value, meaning it could lead to a broad range of options. So it could be a fast growing company that you're just going to learn a bunch of things and you can figure out, you know, do I like one of those things more than the others over time? But just you're getting exposed to more and more things, more and more people, more and more opportunities, and that's key. And management consulting is also another classic example of a career move that maximizes optionality because the skills and experiences can be helpful and applied to many other next steps. That's page 63. And they also highlight a great point about maintaining an identity separate from specific employers. And this is the benefit of the portfolio career is having something else that's in your own name, something, a small group, community that you're building, just so, because as things change, you still have something else to fall back on, and that's your own. Okay, then the next part of the skill set is build real lasting relationships and deploy these relationships into a powerful professional network. So a couple ideas that really stood out to me in the book on this part was one, networking is actually network building. So fostering and proactively developing relationships, adding value to the people that you care about. And then also there's two types of structuring your network. The first is professional allies. So these are the people that you really have a close relationship with. They're probably in the same industry, same sector, have a similar skill set, somebody we've worked intimately in the past, somebody that can really kind of speak to your situation and that can provide valuable insights to you down the road. And so the strength of this relationship is important. Then also the other type of structuring your network is around weaker ties and acquaintances. And these are super important. And you may have heard about the kind of the famous strength of weak ties report. The report that was written by sociologist Mark Granovetter in 1973. And the conclusion to his paper is that the friends that don't know you very well are the ones that are going to refer you winning jobs. And the reason behind this is they're just exposed. If you have a breadth of relationships, they're just exposed to so if you think about the surface area of those of how those people are then talking to these other people, and they're talking to these other people, and they're in this Facebook group and this Slack group and on and on and on. They're just through all that. They're just, that collection is just exposed to a bigger surface area for you to potentially be exposed to opportunities compared to five friends that you're close with, that you talk to all the time. Like, they just are not able to be exposed to as much because they're spending a lot of time with you, compared to those other people they have weaker ties are spending time intimately with other people. And so then on page 107, it says, whatever way you introduce diversity and breadth of your relationships, it's especially important during career transitions, when you're pivoting to plan B or plan Z. You'll want information about new opportunities. And then you'll also want people in different niches or fields who will encourage your move, compared to maybe your best friend that doesn't want you to take a big chance in that person's mind, which may not be as big a risk to you. I love this point on page 124 about being a bridge. Can you develop skill sets, interests, and experiences in two or more domains, and then act as a bridge for your connections in one circle who want to access the other? If so, you'll be enormously helpful. This is one of the benefits of a portfolio career, right? So you're inherently developing these different skill sets and experiences. And so if you're then developing relationships across these different places, and then if you can be the bridge to people, you can create a lot of value for people, because you can be the matchmaker, you can be the person, the impresario, the person in the middle that is facilitating connection and information flow. Okay. And then the next part about going back to the skill set is find and create opportunities for yourself by tapping networks, being resourceful, and staying in motion. Really love the staying in motion part. And so page 144, entrepreneurs don't start businesses just anywhere. They channel the mindset and skills we've been discussing into finding the great business opportunities. Likewise, in order to accomplish something significant in your career, you need to focus on finding and capitalizing on those great career opportunities, the opportunities that will extend your competitive advantage and accelerate your plan A or your plan B. And so when I was in my startup experience, you know, we would be constantly like, you know, oh, we got this product, we're selling this. And then be like, oh, what about if we tried this? Or what about if we talked to this person? Or if we changed this pricing? And the same type of thing can happen in your career, right? So this ties into this next point of our professional lives are not a sequence of equally important jobs. They're always breakout projects, connections, specific experiences, and strokes of luck that lead to unusual rapid growth. And the book laid out a story about George Clooney and how, you know, he kind of broke out and broke through. It's a fascinating story. And so then how do we find these opportunities? So page 157, small informal networks are still uniquely efficient at circulating ideas, right? So think about that small text thread of a couple friends. Think about that Facebook group of, you know, 10 people, you know, the random Slack channel. Those are great places to get exposure and to new ideas and new opportunities. And so then if you want to increase your opportunity flow, join in and participate as many of these groups and associations as possible. So that's opportunities. And then on intelligent risk, so accurately apprise and take on intelligent risk as you pursue professional opportunities. Okay, so couple great points about risk here. And page 170, the lesson is that great opportunities almost never fit your schedule. Usually the timing is imperfect and difficult, and in addition to being inconvenient, the opportunity you generate or find will will likely be shrouded in ambiguity and uncertainty. And then page 182, but the biggest and best opportunities frequently are the ones with the most question marks. Don't let uncertainty lull you into overestimating the risk. And they identify and say, suggest to pursue opportunities with lower risk but higher reward. Jobs that pay less in cash but offer tremendous learning. Part-time or contract gigs that are less stable than full-time jobs, but those could be a breakout opportunity or could have robust learning compared to a stagnant type of 9-to-5 job. So it's key to think about where is the actual stability and to truly identify and think about the stability and risk and not in like the traditional framework. Another example of this is hiring someone without much experience, but who's a fast learner and much cheaper. And then another one is opportunities where the risks are highly publicized. So they suggest like if it's actually the risks are really publicized, then you have all the information compared to other examples where the risk isn't as available. And then you find out a week or month later, and you could be in some trouble then. And then I love this quote, page 190. Remember that if you don't find risk, risk will find you. Okay. And then the last part on about the startup of you mindset. So tap network intelligence from the people you know for the insight that allows you to find better opportunities and make better career decisions. So there's a couple of different approaches that are laid out in the book here where there's, you can pose questions to your entire network. So think about on social media, kind of an open-ended type of question, you know, should I take this job? What is it like working in this field? Does anybody know anybody that does this? These types of open-ended questions like this in a public area invites conversation and allows you to reap benefits not only of multiple perspectives, but also through the dialogue and the interplay of these different perspectives. But maybe you don't want to ask these broad questions. Then you want to be specific about getting information from certain people, from specific people. And they kind of break it out into a couple of different categories of people to think about. And one is people that you have strong personal relationships with. So those are the people that, you know, really know who you are, know your skills, know what you like. Then there's people that are domain experts. So let's say you're trying to transition to investing. So who are the leaders that you know that are in that field? And you can ask them specific questions of, hey, what's it like on a 9-to-5 basis? What's it like? You know, what's the hardest part about this job? What do you like the most? Those types of people that are the best at that, they're going to have the best answers for you. And then the third case is just to ask really, really smart people. So somebody that just is really smart and they're just going to have information for you. Okay, so we kind of just breezed through some of the top ideas into the book. There's a lot of great nuggets throughout, incredible stories, tactical, you know, things to do tomorrow, week after, some great exercises in the book. And I love the conclusion as well. It says, we live in an interconnected world, fast-moving world, and competitive economy. We live in an interconnected, fast-moving world and competitive economy. Constant change and uncertainty make any traditional career strategy ineffective. The career escalator is permanently jammed. The employer-employee pact is dissolving. Competition for opportunity is fierce. Remember that the you in Startup of You is both singular and plural. And kind of in wrapping up of the book, His tagline on page 224, invest in yourself, invest in your network, and invest in society. When you invest in all three, you have the best shot at reaching your highest professional potential. Boom. Okay, so now that we've kind of discussed the top ideas, and that you're really kind of thinking about your competitive advantage, where you see risk, where you don't see risk, what's the breakout potential opportunity for you, where can you stay in motion, how can you be resourceful, what's your plan A, plan B, plan Z? And the beauty of this is, like, it literally can, as I'm sounding like a broken record here, these breakout opportunities can come from just one email and can really start to change things. So I encourage you to take chances, take risk, and put yourself out there a little bit more. And so now that I read through this book and then talked through some of the core ideas in the book for you, as I really wanted to just distill the book down for you. So why did I want to read this book, and what does this book mean to me? So I'm currently in a change period, transitional period, as I'm starting to look for new projects, new opportunities, just in the last week or so. And so I'm thinking about, what is my competitive advantage, right? Where have I seen opportunities in the past that leave me clues for things that I should look to do now to pursue? You know, who are the people that have shown interest in my journey that could be unique resources and contacts and people for me to touch base with now? And also, like, what is a new potential breakout opportunity for me? And knowing that it may not happen right now, so that even though I'm looking for opportunities right now, still also need to be patient with myself to know that it doesn't just happen quickly. So last summer, actually, the summer of 2020, in kind of an unexpected, random time, I actually started getting, there's like two opportunities that come to mind, but it just wasn't the right time. They were great opportunities, but it just wasn't the right time, and I was kind of approached for these opportunities, and those opportunities are now gone. But it really speaks to the point in the book where it says, you know, the opportunities come kind of when you least expect them. So I know if you're out there and you're transitioning, or you're looking for work, looking for a new client, a new job, like, I see you, I hear you, I know that it's tough. And so, you know, I'm with you on this journey. I think for me, I've been trying to get back into a new routine, new habits. I'm a very, as you probably can notice from the consistency of this podcast, I'm very habit driven. So I'm trying to think about how to get back into new routines, and have new consistency and just continue to make positive momentum and progress on, you know, things that seem a little bit different. So these things that I've been putting off, or ideas that I've been putting off, now's the time to do it. But I'm trying to, probably haven't done a good job of it, but trying to put constraints on myself to actually take advantage of this little window here. And, you know, update certain things or attempt certain things, like a workshop that I did last week, the email outreach masterclass, the empathy email masterclass, something I've been thinking about before, but just didn't have the opportunity until now. So yeah, trying to stay in motion, create momentum. Yeah. And so that's where I'm at. Yeah, I highly recommend this book. It's a good primer on a bunch of different topics. And it was written in 2012. So I think the ideas on this are super relevant right now. And I just love the idea of being permanently in beta and just a lifelong commitment to continuous personal growth. So So I hope this summary of the book is helpful for you. I would love to hear if you have any questions or if any thoughts, if you read the book, or anything else that comes up from this episode. But yeah, I really wanted to just read this book, distill the core ideas for you, and try to make it as useful and compact for you. Thank you so much. I'm so excited for us to build and grow our portfolio careers. Thank you so much.